Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
Fans, the NBA Playoff Banter Podcast is back, and we're here to discuss everything that surrounds the NBA playoffs. Obviously, we are now down to four teams. The West and the East are going to be decided over the next couple of weeks. Of course, in the Western Conference, we have the number one seed, Houston Rockets, who had the best record overall in the whole league, against number two, Golden State, who still had a damn good record, or pretty good record, right? And also had several random things happen down the stretch, whether it was injury, most of it was just minor injury stuff. Well, I guess you could say that the Curry thing had people worrying a little bit, but he was having some ankle stuff down the stretch, too, before he messed up his knee. But anyway, we got a matchup that a lot of people have been talking about all year. You know, Houston went out and got Chris Paul, and this year and last year, they've changed the parameters or change the culture a bit defensively. So we're going to break down that series. Of course, on the East, we have King James and his Cleveland Cavaliers as the four seed this year? Yeah, four seed. Going against the Boston Celtics, which a couple weeks ago, not many people out there really thought that they had a chance. Philadelphia, I mean, not only were people writing Philadelphia into the conference final, but let's be honest. I mean, they were kind of, you know, they were kind of writing them in all the way to the finals, if we're being honest. So, you know, that's what I love about the playoffs, though. You know, that's what I love about the playoffs. Because, and to be fair, if we're going back to, you know, early season, October, November time, we basically kind of thought, okay, these are the two teams that are going to meet, you know, when push comes to shove, Boston and Cleveland. Now, you know, how we got here, yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy. So we're going to break down how we got here on both sides, East and West, as far as throughout the season. And just the matchup, we're not going to break down the whole season or anything like that, or even round one, or we're going to touch upon these closing, ceremonies, I almost said, season, you know, series, but we're not going to spend a ton of time with that, but it is kind of crazy. I mean, to say that Boston is overachieving, you know, really, it's kind of like an understatement, as funny as that sounds. I mean, it's beyond overachieving at this point. It's been pretty damn impressive what Boston's, you know, able to do, and we're not going to stop them right now either. We can't just sit there and count them out all of a sudden. This is a different team than Toronto. It's just a different team, more defensive-minded. The offense spreads the ball a lot more, and it's even more that way now because, of course, they don't have the studs to rely on per se, even though they still got some some studs or whatever, but, you know, Al Horford has really shined as well. But before we get into breaking this down, I want to bring in my co-host Marshall and see how he's doing. I have a hunch I know how he's doing. And that has to do with some news that just came through not long ago. But if this is your first time listening to the NBA Playoffs Banter Podcast, we are available under the Rope It Up Radio Podcast. It's under that umbrella. We live stream it here right on blogtalkradio.com/Rope It Up Radio. We're also available, of course, on iTunes, a.k.a. Apple Podcasts, Player FM, Spreaker, Stitcher. In fact, now Blog Talk is going to start to open up to even more. Maybe Spotify is coming here soon. We're also a member of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network, okay, and that's available everywhere. They have a great app. They're at Spreaker. Did I mention TuneIn, too? That's another great place. We get a lot of hits from that site. But the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network is also available on iHeartRadio. So if you're an iHeartRadio fan, and that's kind of what you do, you don't necessarily listen to a bunch of podcasts, but you listen to live radio and a little bit, you know, on that, too. You can check us out there. Go ahead and visit thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. They got a great sponsor over there, mybookie.ag. That's mybookie.ag. You can head on over to thegruelingtruth.net, check out a pod, read some articles. It covers football, basketball, boxing, baseball, just a wide variety. And actually, thegruelingtruth.net is now back up. It crashed last night, but it was a good crash. Because the server can't handle the volume coming through. Obviously, the NFL in April adding to a lot of the hits, and the server just couldn't handle it anymore. I think they put up a Canelo. I think they put up a Canelo article, and it did like 13,000 or 14,000 hits in 3 minutes, and it shut everything down. So they're gonna get a new improved. The site is up right now though. But they're going to, you know, even get a bigger server, basically, that can handle a different system. So if you haven't been there, check it out, thegruelingtruth.net. They're getting a ton of traffic coming through there for all sorts of different reasons, okay? So check that out. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host right now, Marshall. What's going on, Marshall? How you doing, buddy? Kind of a dumb question to ask you how you're doing, but how you doing?
I'm good, man. Locking up a new job next year and coaching, it's hard to complain about this weekend. I'm doing very well. I get to coach high school next year, and I get to coach girls basketball, which is awesome. And that keeps you from having any football responsibility too, which high school football responsibility down here is basically a daily grind. Not that I won't be doing basketball every day, but, man, it's a win-win, even a pay raise, a better place. Better staff. So it's been a good day, man. It's been a good weekend, and it's only Saturday afternoon, so it kind of feels like Sunday night right now. So I'll kind of take an extra day to enjoy.
Nice. And by the way, tonight there is Lomachenko versus Linares on regular ESPN. If you're bored, the card starts at 7. So just a heads up. I thought I screwed that up.
I do think, Chris, even for a guy like me who doesn't obviously follow boxing clearly as much as you to that level, it is kind of fun just to have that option of the NBC or ESPN, because it's kind of like, not that boxing is a small niche sport, but it maybe catches the attention of a regular guy or girl chilling at home. It's like, oh, what are we going to watch tonight? Oh, let me check ESPN. That's almost a routine channel change, you know, for any sport fan, and to promote boxing. And I've seen, you know, 3 or 4 fights on ESPN over the past couple of years or so, and it's just a nice free marketing tool that I think they're using pretty well to help grow that sport. It just catches people that, you know, what are we going to do tonight? Oh, turn on ESPN. Oh, it's a cool fight. Like, it's a great idea they did by taking that route.
Yeah, and sometimes it's like the end of the night, or maybe you just got done watching your baseball game or something like that.
Sure.
And, you know, you go to check out the highlights of the day and check out SportsCenter, and boom, you run right into it that way too. So yeah, definitely throughout CBS and NBC and Fox and all that, it's definitely helped, and it's brought more money into the sport as far as investment. In fact, this last weekend, we won't bore you too much, but this last weekend, Marshall, there's huge investment. You know that Anthony Joshua dude, that UK fighter who fights in front of all those fans and shit?
Yeah,
like in Wembley Stadium last year, he sold 90,000, and he's done a couple other ones that were like 78,000. That's all they could fit in the stadium. But his promoter just signed a streaming deal. There's a brand new streaming company that's located in Germany, Japan, and Canada. And now they're moving here, and they're going to get a variety of sports on there, of course, but they're actually going all in on boxing, and it has to do with really one of the hottest promoters, if not the top promoter in the sport from the UK. They gave him it's a contract that we don't know all the details, but they gave him an 8-year contract with $1 billion to spend. So, and it's like, it's like a $15 stream. They want to be the Netflix of sports is what their whole thing is. That's kind of what they're doing. I don't really know how much success exposure-wise it's going to get right away, you know, but we'll see. But anyway, let's get off that topic because we had plenty of that on Wednesday. But, yeah, dude, the investment in the last couple of years from real deal investors, you know, and like you said, ESPN now, and so it's been up and up. And speaking of up and up, the NBA is up and up. I mean, it has been on the up and up for quite some time. If you look at the players right now in their prime, it's pretty silly. And then when you look at that list, and it's been a list like the last year or two, Marshall, 25 and under. And when you look at that list, it is damn impressive. You're just like, wow, dude. NBA is hooked up for a while now. Like they don't have a problem with talent in this league, and you know it kind of matters how everything goes when it comes to this NCAA thing. But it might, you never know, that it might even be a deeper draft when it's all said and done. But anyway, let's quickly just kind of nutshell. Because it's been a little while. It's been a couple days since those games are over now, since Wednesday. And we're not going to jump knee-deep into recapping a bunch of those games, obviously. You know what I mean? But LeBron James. Well, so we got to start there, Marshall. Obviously, what Boston did is awesome, and we're going to talk about that next, no doubt. Golden State and Houston will probably kind of just leave alone a little bit. We'll talk a little bit about their closeouts, but we want to kind of dig into that series because that is the finals, let's be honest. So let's start in the East as far as recap, but let's just nutshell it. But like I said, I mean, Marshall, LeBron, it just like how many, like to go – 1 week and hit a three-pointer to win a game, and then the very next week, Marshall, you go and win another freaking game, especially with the style of shot, like the finesse, floater, teardrop off the glass. Like it was just, and they say he practices that stuff, you know, that shot in particular he practices, much like I remember back in the day when Mo Williams got the bomb and flipped it to Randy, and that is a play that they had been – or Randy flipped it, my fault. You know, they had actually – I remember Mike Tice saying, why do you guys keep practicing that? And they said, we just do it. You just never know. And sure enough, it came up in a game. But, you know, there's been 10 – you know, the clutchness – and I know the LeBron haters hate that word in the same sentence, LeBron and clutch. They hate it. They just can't get over 2011, you know, in two games, mind you, in 2011 in the finals. The rest, has been damn good. But There's been 10 buzzer beaters in the playoffs. And a lot of people can't believe that because they say, what? No, I've seen that. And, well, hold on, dude. There was still 3 seconds left, or there was still a second and a half left. A buzzer beater, as we know, is what it says right in the title. At the buzzer, walk off. There's been 10 of them in NBA playoff history, Marshall. You know who has 5 of them? LeBron James has 5 of them. And everybody else, the other 5, just have 1. So Mr., you know, can't hit a shot to save his life, not clutch, you know. But this guy, not even the clutch stuff at the end, even though there were so many times that he had to keep scoring for like 3 or 4 minutes just to keep his team in it. The guy in the first series, this guy, Marshall, had to move mountains to win games against Indiana. Now, what we did see, though, in that Toronto series was Kevin Love waking up the last 3 games. It was like, whoa, okay. And then they finally got contributions from here and there. George Hill there. J.R. Smith with 15 points. First of all, what else can you say about LeBron? And then we'll just kind of wrap up the East in general, because Boston doing what they're doing is just showing a lot about their GM, their head coach, the youthful talent mixed with experience, and just what is going to be in the future. No matter what happens in this next series, whether they go on or not against Cleveland, it's been pretty damn phenomenal overall.
I mean, you really do kind of run out of words to use to describe LeBron. The dude just did it again. But, you know, I think the bigger thing of that series takeaway is Toronto. And hearing some of the comments they made after the series of like, well, you know, if we had LeBron, or – I think that team is literally just mentally broken when they play Cleveland. It's just a hump they can't get over. They ended up firing their coach, and I wouldn't say it was Dwayne Casey's fault. I mean, you apparently have a guy in Lowry and DeRozan who are top 30 players, and they just never seem to be big-time clutch people, like you said, of LeBron. So, I mean, I give LeBron a ton of credit. The dude put up crazy numbers again. He fit his teammates into the game again. He got a little more support this series. But it's just Toronto. It's like, you know, you had a team where on paper you're supposed to beat Cleveland this year, and then you massively choke away game one. And after that, it's like, dude, oh, we're done. It's over. Not like they didn't try, but no, dude, it's done. You're mentally checked out again. So I guess now the option is, well, we got to fire our coach. You know, God forbid you maybe look at getting out of, you know, DeRozan or Lowry, but
trade potentially. He's just coming off the best season in franchise history. They've gotten the worst luck getting LeBron 3 years in a row. Everybody else would have got beat just like them. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously, to get swept is different, but yeah, it's messed up, dude.
I mean, I guess someone's got to take the sword to the chest, or maybe even this time in the back. And I mean, I guess you can fire Dwayne Casey, but man, that's just, I guess, a compliment to LeBron. Again, I don't know who the second best player in Cleveland was in the series, or how high he'd be on the list compared to Toronto players. I mean, they looked pretty darn good against Washington, but I really think it's become a mental thing. And LeBron's a man that, besides the series he had against Dallas, and we're talking almost a decade ago, where he kind of was like just a passive-aggressive teammate who was trying to help other people and didn't take clutch shots. I mean,
that was game 4 and 5, too, because remember, they were up 2-1.
Yep.
It was back-to-back
games
where you didn't know. He was having problems. Should I take the shot? Like you said, should I spread it? No, you got to take that shot. No, go to the rack. There was a moment there where you could see, and he admits it. Everybody saw it. He admitted straight up, you know?
I mean, since then, though, I haven't seen much of it. So, just, again, massive compliments. Just the guy keeps doing it. And I guess Toronto, I guess he got to work on something. I don't know if the coach is the right call. But, yes, credit to him. It is funny how about around that time there were so many
Kobe lovers that you knew, because as we mentioned last year, like, he was still in his prime. He was still playing good basketball. It's like, oh, LeBron never passed Kobe. And there's always kind of a 50-50 decision. And just year after year after year, LeBron
and now
he's
laughed
doing
him.
Things. Yeah, over and over and over again. And it's not an insult to Kobe, because when Kobe had his prime, that dude was – he could get hot, and he wasn't afraid to take a lot of second shot. But LeBron's timeline of great games just continues to build. And the buzzer beater stat's honestly amazing. I mean, there's a lot
That's
of guys
silly.
That don't want
– I didn't really know that stat until they just brought it up. I was like, there's only been 10, but then you think about it, dude, it's hard to walk off, man. It's hard to win it at the buzzer. And a lot of people get that confused, you know, about buzzer beaters. It's like, no, dude, what about Reggie Miller? What about this? What about – no. That, it has to be at the buzzer, done. Like Derek Fisher, fuck off against
you know,
San Antonio.
I mean, if I'm at your house and we're having drinks with some boys, and it's like, oh, you know, Steph hit a buzzer beater and there's like 0.3 tenths of a second left. You know, to your friends, you call that a buzzer beater because – it is, but by true definition, you know, theoretically, yeah, but that's phenomenal. Because my point on this is there's a lot of guys that don't want to take that shot or are too nervous. Like on every NBA team, I bet there's a handful of guys who are like, okay, game's on the line, I'm giving you the ball. You're like, coach, I think we got a better option. Like, not everyone has that in their DNA, or if they do put up a shot, it's the, I'm going to dribble the ball for 10 seconds and do an ugly fadeaway and air ball, then we'll go into overtime or something. The dude, he's got all that clutch skills, and I mean, to see the way that game finished, it's like Toronto got blown out in the first half. So when I saw the game ending the way it went that way, it's like, oh, dude, game four is gonna be a cakewalk. So, props to the King James, to give some to take away some props, and I know you can't change regular season voting awards compared to postseason. You know, I guess my Donovan Mitchell Rookie of the Year parade continues to grow because that Ben Simmons did not do himself many favors in that series. So I guess I'll give you my take and I'll send it back to you. Boston was the underdog in, I believe, every game in Vegas. I mean,
they
easily won the series.
You're exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, they were just somehow. Philly was getting all the love, but – you know, and you've seen this, Chris, firsthand with the point guard and Ricky Rubio, who, when he was in Minnesota, always got kind of knocked on of, well, you know, he can't shoot the ball that well, so is he really a person you need to cover? And I believe in my time, I watched the Wolves again, not as closely as you, that I believe that Rubio could hit maybe a 10-foot jumper. He was never quite a three-point threat as he is now as he's developed his game, but I think if you gave Rubio a baseline floater, like, it was possible for him. Ben Simmons, I mean, I think unless you're, like, giving him a layup.
He just won't take shots. You know, you're like, dude, you've taken four today. You got to take more, buddy.
Yeah, to have a one-point game and then in game five, seeing plays where he would basically he's so damn quick, he can beat people off the dribble. After he beats someone off the dribble, it is like a frantic rush to the rim to throw up an off-balance layup, and it's like, dude, you have so much speed and skill. You got to at least get like the Sean Livingston, who's the master, like the 7-foot turnaround hole. Or you got to add some part to your game to where, you know, make the person guard you at three-point line, or at least make them guard you near the free throw. But, I mean, it is nothing.
Just shoot it.
Yeah.
You know, miss three or four, then don't shoot from the outside. That's fine. At least you tried.
Sure. I just because he's such a vital part of that team. But when the playoffs came around, and Brad Stevens, give him credit, phenomenal defensive coach, figures, okay, guys, well, if he's going to try and distribute the ball, that's fine, but we can kind of back off our defense or approach them differently or focus more on an Embiid or a Redick or another shooter on the court that time. It's like, just let Simmons dribble the ball. He's going to get some dunks on us, fine, because he's a freakish athlete like that, but he ain't going to score more than 10 points. So let him dish out passes. And when he does pass, you're probably not going to get a return pass to him, so press up on the guy that he just passed the ball to. And it's just, I don't know, that's a problem you got to fix. And though, as you said, they got a lot of love. They came in the playoffs on a 17-game winning streak. Everything was adding up. but I believe I watched 3 out of the 5 games pretty closely in that series, and just Philly's offense, it beautifully ran offense, but when the guy that holds the ball a majority of the time to set up your assignments is not a threat to shoot, and you play a defensive smart team, that really puts people in a bind. Because a J.J. Redick, who I can't stand because he's a Duke, he was had a terrific NBA career, is a matchup running around screens and coming out to catch a pass and put up a three. And it's like, well, if the guy trying to pass you the ball is not getting guarded that tightly, that means Redick has less space to get open. Well, that means
right.
if Simmons passes the ball, okay, well, let's double Redick. Or let's press Embiid out of the low post to make things uncomfortable for him. So, I mean, my big takeaway from the series was Simmons really needs to develop something. And Embiid, for all the love he got, he didn't perform to his standard either. Because this is a guy that I think has potential. His numbers show it. He's a fun person for fans. He's on Twitter. He seems to have a good sense of humor to himself. But for all the accolades he's got, he could have been a guy that could have stepped up and carried his team. So the Simmons and Embiid numbers and stats weren't there. And then it seemed like Boston, who, God forbid, if they had Hayward and Kyrie, just a bunch of basically scrappy young kids mixing with some vets, has played phenomenal basketball. So major props to Brad Stevens. Sorry, I kind of got long-winded there, but that Philly stuff, if your top boys let you down, all of a sudden you kind of have a different-looking squad, and that 17-game winning streak, you know, it was a thing of the past all of a sudden quickly, my friend.
Yeah, and it's funny how it turns from round to round and how it changes, and sometimes you can just draw. We were talking about boxing earlier. A lot of times, coming off a fight, you'd be like, "Oh, now, dude, he'll definitely beat him." You know, it's like, "Well, hold on, dude, hold on." You know, it's just one fight, dude. It doesn't mean that the next round is the next round. Like you said, they were facing a better defensive team, and just like Cleveland, he all of a sudden Love went off, and he's starting to get these pieces are starting to fit more, and will that be the same here, coming up? But we kind of knew it's crazy because there's certain things we knew, but we didn't think when it comes to Simmons that he would be advanced like that quick. But then other things we definitely knew, we knew he couldn't shoot from the outside in college. We knew that watching the first couple of games. He still can't. It's going to take him a while. But it just shows you how much the defense, and as you go round by round, how much that can change. Now, as far as Embiid, though, first game, 31-13. Second game, 20-14. Third game, 22-19. He had an off game shooting-wise, had 15-12. But in the last game, he had 27-12. Had some blocks in there as well. So, I mean, I wouldn't put much of it on Embiid, to be honest with you. Carry the team, yes. I agree with that. He could have bumped it up a little bit more and maybe got more assists or whatever. But once again, he is the big man. So we all know how sometimes the big man still needs to get the ball, even in today's NBA. So I think that could have played into it as well. Maybe they could have played more out of the post and let him pass out of there. But and just inexperience with your best players people are going to know after 2, 3, 4 games in a row, they're going to know they knew your weaknesses. Now they really know them. And that's the thing about playing back-to-back and style matchup and all that. But, yeah, it's funny. And then, like I mentioned, some people were thinking, man, I mean, the Cavs, it took them 7 games. Dude, Toronto's got them it's done. It's done.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, the yearly pilgrimage is not going to happen for LeBron. He's not going to go to the – and then it was like, damn, that's a blowout. Like, they just dominated. I mean, it's pretty crazy how that happens. But, it'll be interesting to see. Redick, I think it was just a 1-year, $20 million deal. It'll be really interesting to see. He may have an option in there, but – it'll be interesting to see, what – I think he's a free agent, what they do with him and where they – I mean, both these teams growing in general, but especially this team because it's not like they're – well, I shouldn't say anything yet because, free agency, you never know what that, you know, I was about to say, well, it's not like they're going to bring in someone really big. It's like, well, hold on, you know, LeBron might go there. You never know. So we'll hit the brakes on that. As far as the West, Golden State pretty much got back to being a hard-nosed defensive team, and the rest took care of itself. Draymond was Draymond. He got into a couple people's face, Rondo especially, and that's his style. In fact, I just watched a chunk of the three-part series last night on the Lakers and the Celtics, and how in 84 how they unraveled, you know, Kareem and a bunch of people, and you can kind of just see, you know, Garnett, and, you know, they just went through all the different guys that are like that. And, you know, Draymond's like that, to where they'll really get in somebody's grill and just piss them off, and they'll act outside of their character. But overall, it's great that they were able to rest Steph, because he's come back looking damn near ready to – I mean, first game he looked ready to go, you know. Obviously he was ready to go, but you know what I mean? Had it been the finals or the conference finals, he probably would have been – he may have been playing in some of those games, whereas no matter what the situation is, he looks, you know, for the run, clearly, in my eyes. And like I said, you know, Draymond really stepping it up. But just overall, I thought everybody had that defensive mentality on the other side. That, you know, that game two stuff was kind of strange. A little bit, you know, Houston for this team is going through it for their first time in a sense together anyway. And they kind of got a little bump in the road, and you're like, all right, I want to see this, you know, I want to see what they're going to do with this. Now it's 1-1, you know, and now they're going on the road. Let's see what happens. And, you know, they took care of business. It's some guys, we were talking about Ricky Rubio. It's just like Ricky to have like a, probably the best 50 days of his career ever, because he didn't have a great season overall, if you think about it, but the last, like, 50 days, man, maybe a little more than that, he freaking played his best ball he had for that long of a stretch, and it leads right into, and then had a triple-double, had another, you know, out of those five games or six games or whatever it was, he had two really good games, you know, and then what do you know, Marshall? He's done and didn't even see playing time. You know, it's really just Rubio in a nutshell. It sucks for him and sucks for players like this that seem to just can't get out of their way. Either they just can't hit shots, or they do improve in one way and then they end up getting hurt or whatever. It just kind of crazy. But that there's not a ton to talk about because the series, although there was some interest in them, it's still – It pretty much the writing was on the wall. And so you can nutshell, obviously you being a Golden State fan as well, you can nutshell the West, and then we'll get into, we'll save this matchup, though, for the second round of predictions, whereas we'll go right to the East after this.
I did like how they went to the quote-unquote death lineup for game four. I think Golden State was pretty ticked off.
Yeah.
They kind of got smoked in game three. And then you see them start at Udala. And the first half of that game four looked so smooth. I mean, I think Durant scored 20 points in the first half. The ball movement was slick. I mean, the defensive pressure was there from Udala and Draymond. Udala is a guy that, you know, he's getting older, but come playoff time, that guy always seems to bring it. That was just kind of a nice change of pace. It's something the Dubs have done over the past couple of years where Kerr's like, you know what? We got to go smaller. And 9 out of 10 times when they've done that, it's worked out to benefit them. And in that game, New Orleans didn't really have a chance. I think Golden State went into half up 7 or 9, I believe. Golden State won the third quarter by 7 or 8 points. I mean, you know, when you're down 17 points or so going in, into the fourth quarter against Golden State and they've been clicking all day, it's like, dude, it's the game's old. So, that rhythm was nice. Obviously, it would have been a hell of an effort if Golden State would have had to lose game five. That would have meant New Orleans would have had to really bring their A game. So, just nice offense. I like the depth lineup. Things look smooth. Props to the Golden State. Now it's time to really kind of get locked in. And to give Utah credit, I thought they put up a damn good fight in Game Five, and they did. That was basically a back and forth game the whole game, and
yeah,
Houston,
they would get down
was,
like 6 or 8 or whatever, and then they'd be right back in it. You know, they didn't ever really lead much until late.
No, and that was a game where Utah had the lead. I think I remember them hitting a three. They were up like 87-85. I mean, this was a game where it was about 4 or 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. It's a one-possession game. And then, Harden and Mitchell were matched up on each other. Unfortunately, at that point, Mitchell rolled his ankle. And after that, Houston was on like a quick like 8-0 run, and then it was almost double-digit game. The game was over. Houston pulled away comfortably. But, I mean, with 5 minutes to go, Mitchell was rolling. Utah was hitting threes. They weren't backing down. They weren't that scared. And I was kind of wanting to see how the game finished. But when he rolled that ankle, it's kind of like, damn, that's not how, the playoffs are supposed to go. Like, it would be nice to see them come down the stretch. I'm not saying that we would still be talking about the series, but for what was a very gutsy Game 5, I just got to give the Jazz credit, because for a lot of the series we've seen so far this year, Chris, a lot of teams in that situation who were trying to win a game to avoid having their season shut out, some of them kind of mailed it in or didn't bring their best effort or for whatever reason, they kind of played a crappy game. Okay, our year's over, whatever. We're mentally stuck, we quit. And they fought hard.
That's
so
true. That's true, because they lost two games. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Losing two games at home, too. That could be really like, wow, we're screwed, man. How did we do that? Here we go and steal one on the road, and we can't even win one at home. That's a good point. They did. That you put a little extra detail in there. That is a good point. On the road, too. And there were times when they, like I mentioned, they'd get up by 8 or 9, and they just wouldn't have it. They'd come back and make it a game. Yeah, that's a good call.
Yeah, for example, like when it was New Orleans or when Toronto, that Toronto game 4, like, even there wasn't a fighting chance they were going to knock out Cleveland or other series. So props to them. And, man, if you're Utah, I would keep that team together. We talked about, a lot of people always love to talk about, well, you got to switch things up, blow up the team or do something different, blah, 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 in the NBA. That's common talk now if your team doesn't make the finals. Well, if you're Utah, man, you got a good coach, a fan base that is always supporting the team, it seems like, and you got some young players. So I would keep that bunch together. I wouldn't make many changes. I guess you can always add pieces, but I would keep that together.
Who knows how the ceiling on Mitchell, too, I mean, he's
– yeah, yeah.
So that's really good for him.
Yeah, and to switch it to Houston to wrap this up quickly, Chris Paul had a phenomenal game. I mean, when that dude dropped 41, it's like, okay, well, I guess Harden just didn't need to do the same, but Chris Paul did. It's like, okay. But props to Houston. I mean, they got it done. They took a good punch. They got a little lucky with the injury there late in the game. But, hey, if you win a series in 5 like Golden State did, you can't complain too much as a fan base, Chris.
Although you're trying to somehow take credit away from them. But, yeah, totally. I get it. I'm just kidding. That is a good point, though. That is a good point. God, I was going to make a point on that, too. I can't remember what the point was. God, anyway. Well, now, obviously, the time has come to get down to the nitty-gritty. Get down to what the title of the show says. And, by the way, your squad is on a hell of a streak as far as most consecutive home playoff wins. They're creating more history. And this was about a week ago. No, not even. But LeBron, as far as the playoffs, he was leading in points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks, just so you know. Let's move on. Not in the series out of everybody in the playoffs, which is just silly. For a little bit there. God, I can't remember what I was going to say. I wish I would have written it down. That's what's smart, to write stuff down when you got something in your head. So Boston, you know, you can't say, well, they're coming in here limping in or something. You know, it'd be different coming off a game, you know, the more closer first series type, or, you know, had they just come off a game seven or something like that, then you'd be like, oh, man, they're really limping into this one, you know. But they're really not. You know, they're really not at all. They've gotten a lot of big contributions out of their young players. Al Horford is just, as time goes by with him, if you know what you're watching beyond all the analytics and just offensive numbers in general, the guy, you know, what he means to a team is pretty impressive. And they're just doing really, really good. And they got a, you know, lately, the last couple games, which I know you love, they got a Dookie just that's just going off. And I know you always love when a former Duke player goes off. It's one of your favorite things in life. It just brings a smile,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
Definitely, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sure. You could tell anybody listening to the show. And by the way, this was, I don't know if he, what was his last game? But he surpassed 20-point streaks by a rookie over that Larry Bird guy. He had five in a row. I think it's six in a row now. But that was back in 1980. That's freaking crazy. Anyway, I feel like it's a lot closer to the Pacers series, you know? It has a little bit more because you're going to face a hard-nosed defensive team. Like I said, Brad Stevens, coach, you know. I mean, him and Danny Ainge have really hooked this team up, obviously, to have Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward on the mend, and you know, you're still doing all right. And that game plan, actually both offensively and defensively, was really, I mean, beyond impressive against the 76ers. And like I said, whether they overcome King James or, you know, don't, it doesn't really matter. Right now, the future is super bright in Boston. And I mean, potentially bright enough in a year or two to you know, give Golden State a run, because that's really what we're all thinking about when we think about, all right, what's this team? You know, it's funny, it wasn't that long ago, about 15 days ago or something, 10 days ago, when you talk about Philly, Marshall, and how tall they are and how lanky and long they are. And if you got, you know, you got some explosive players, and then you got shooters, and, you know, four out of the five, and sometimes five out of the five guys are super long, it creates some matchup issues, you know? And so you start to go, man, can they really do something? And so, like I said, no matter what the outcome is, I just feel it's they got something special, man. Obviously, a lot of it will have to do with, you know, Kyrie, if he can remain healthy. That's been an issue throughout his career. He just came off a long stretch where he had been healthy for quite some time. So we'll see if that, you know, if he can keep doing that. And Gordon Hayward, it's not like he's it takes a while to come back. You can come back, but it doesn't mean you're going to be your old self. It could take till midseason next year for him to be 100% his old self. You never know. Well, what we do know, in these, you know, LeBron James is still by far the best player in the NBA. He just is. Sorry, everybody, but he is. He's the best player in the league still. It's been breathtaking what he's done in this playoffs. I remember, like, four of the games were just silly naming out the stats in that first series, and obviously he kept that going as well. Can the surrounding players be consistent? Game in and game out. We know that they're only going to defend in spots, right, Marshall? They're not going to defend for a whole series. They may defend great for a beginning of a game or maybe a full game or whatever, but there's going to be spots. They're going to be much like my – even if they're on their game defensively, they're going to be like my Timberwolves, where a quarter here, a half a quarter there, they just won't be tight. And the next thing you know, the team goes on the run, and they're either ahead of you or the lead you built up is gone now, and it's a tied game. So I could that's the problem with these Cavs, regardless. But yeah, I mean, Love is coming in feeling pretty good. It does seem like they're spreading the ball a little bit more and getting more contributions. Of course, you know, George Hill is huge defensively and offensively. J.R. Smith needs to play like he did the last couple games, and like I mentioned, Love especially. Here's what it comes down to for me. The lack of playoff experience in relying on young players for large contributions, I just feel like it'll catch up with Boston. Now, you know, some of the players they brought in, especially two of the players Cleveland brought in, they don't have playoff experience either. But George Hill does, and they do have more of a core that's been together, obviously. Just like that Game 7, remember they – and, shit, I remember, Trish Thompson, once again, there's been a sighting. Even off the bench, Marshall, he's looking alive and giving him 15 and 12. Like, can you believe it? I think he's traded in his mink coats, and he's putting on his hard hat again, and he's going blue collar just for the playoffs. He's got all summer to be in L.A. just for the playoffs, Thompson. I mean, is it really much to ask? But that's what it's – the large contributions that they depend on from a young player perspective. Don't get me wrong, the C's, man, they play great defense, and like I said, they move the ball. And that's – they don't have to depend – I say depend on large contributions, they do, but they don't depend on one or two players offensively to get the job done cleanly. Like, okay, these guys have to score, you know. So I think that's been big throughout this. I think that's what's made it interesting, because you don't know who's going to show up. You know, about three or four of them offensively are going to have a good game, and one's probably going to really go off, but you don't always know who it is. But with that said, I'm going Cavs in six, Cavaliers in six. What do you say about that, sir?
I mean, it sounds so simple, but kind of the idea of let LeBron do his thing and make the rest of the guys beat you. But, I mean, if that was the plan, I don't know. Because I do feel that Boston's players match up very well with Cleveland besides LeBron. I mean, you can't tell me that you wouldn't want Tatum having the ball in his hands compared to, like, you know, Crowder or J.R. Smith. I mean, the progression those Boston guys have made has been phenomenal. But LeBron is
and Rozier still going strong too, and telling everybody about it on the court too. You know what I mean?
Yes.
You gotta love a young guy who's like, "Yeah, and I'm talking shit, dude."
Well, maybe that's something to go to show that if you have like adult, you know, ladies give you lap dances in college, that means you become a better pro basketball player.
Yeah.
Is there a correlation?
Confident. It's good
for
your self-esteem.
You know, I want to give a shout out to Rick Pitino and Louisville. When you're getting dances every night, I mean, who are you not to be confident? You're like, well, dude, I was a stud in college. I'm gonna be a stud again now.
It's just like getting that A grade when you didn't do anything at North Carolina. It's just it's that confidence that installs into you. I totally get it. That's a perfect metaphor, Marshall.
Yeah, you know, you can't find us on any other podcast. This is why Chris and I bring our A game every night, or C game, or whatever, you know. Aside from the fun stuff, I think that it'll be curious to see maybe what their game one approach is, because Stevens is a great defensive coach, and he does a great job at defending the three-point line. So if you can, keep it to where you're going to go ISO on LeBron and lock out three-point guys. I mean, if LeBron does drop 30, 40 points on you, don't let the other guys put a combined 50 to 60 up. You know, I don't think Chris this series is going to have games in the 115, 120s. I do think there's going to be made more of a 90, high 90s game.
You know,
yeah,
this
compared
season,
to what,
not to interrupt you, but this season's kind of been like that at times, too. We've had some high scores, but it seems like we've had some grind-out games, too.
Yeah, and you know, for the defense they played against Philly, who is a pretty three-point heavy team with Covington and, Bellinelli and Reddick. You know, I think just try to find the best way possible to D up on everyone and let LeBron do his thing, because you're not going to stop him. So say screw the double teams. Let's make Trover and J.R. Smith beat us, because I bet defensively Boston probably has the advantage in guarding those players, because I mean, just the way they've been playing. I can't tell me slowing down Embiid is easier than, you know, who else are they going to face. So, how will they set their matchup up? And, you know, the one good thing left for Boston is the fact that they can rotate people on LeBron. They don't have an Iguodala per se, but they do have guys that are kind of longer, lengthier, so you can kind of switch. I know that's
they got more guys than Toronto. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the funny thing about that, Marshall. We're like, oh, there's one thing we forgot that Toronto doesn't. Damn, they're having such a great season. And they're playing better. They're playing better defensively, and they're moving the ball. They're not getting stagnant. Oh, wait, they still don't have anybody for LeBron, and the only guy they had that was decent against them, he's not on the squad anymore. Shit, that's right.
Yeah, because that's been a theme we've touched on sometimes in our shows over the years about how some teams have that one lockdown defender. It's like, okay, your job is to guard, you know, Curry in the Western Conference, or it's been your job to guard LeBron in the East, and that's your goal. But when you do that to a star player who's a defender, you completely drain the guy for his offensive effort. I mean, if it is your task to cover a Curry or a LeBron or a Harden or a Westbrook, it's like, okay, he might do a better job than most in the league, but what your return of him on the offensive court is almost minimal. So I don't think the rotating things are bad. But, I'm with you. I think from all the points I made, it would tell me to lean towards Boston. But, and Boston's even got the home court. But I can't take against LeBron.
I didn't really break down the games, but it ain't going to come easy. Don't get me wrong. The only reason why I'm picking six is because of that home court. You know, that game six at home. And I think they could probably maybe shut it down. I think they could steal one game in the first three at home or on the road. That's what I'm looking at. You know?
I will copy you, but make a little bit of adjustment in by picking Cleveland. I'm going to say that LeBron adds to his timeline of prolific events and wins game seven in Boston, which I think would be beautiful because I'm not really a Celtics fan at all. So I'm taking Cleveland in seven. LeBron goes off. Obviously, we'll be doing a show between now and hypothetically a game seven. But I will take LeBron and company in seven. He has another phenomenal closing out game on the road this time. So, yeah, I'll go with that, sir.
You really going on a limb, huh? LeBron goes off. All right. No, just kidding.
Again, great insight. Where else can you find this?
Exactly. Exactly. We might as well just call it the NBA Finals. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, God bless the East, but this is the – ever since the season started and it's really gotten going and going and kept going and had that flow going and all that, this is the game that you're like, all right, Houston's the second best team, clearly. And they stood out. And they got here. They got the home court. And they still have that Capella, Paul, and Harden record. Actually, let me check. Yeah, 50-5 with them on the court. That's funny. Because I start there because that lineup and whatnot and just how much, one, will they get out of Capella, as far as being able to play him all, you know, as much as he can and has been. And two, the fact that they need to, you know, they need him on the court. The guy is a really solid player, especially in this system. If you look at what he can do on the court defensively, rebounding, block shots, score in a couple of different ways, it's not a wide variety by any stretch, but looking over your shoulder and just be like, where is this? Oh, shit, he's in the air. Oh, he's already dunking on me. You know what I mean? And my whole point is I kind of feel like he's getting close to being a third piece. You know what I mean? Like a full. Not, I'm not saying big three just yet, but the way he's even upped his game in the playoffs, right now he's playing. If you put it all, like, you can't just look at stats, scoring and all that. What he's done to this team in general, especially the last couple of years as a player, his personal development, but he's a really key part to them, man. He really is. And obviously we knew the coach, after last year, the coach and the figurehead, Harden, we knew they could score with the best of them, probably like a top 10 scoring team last year all time. Or offensive stats in general, not just scoring, but, the amount of threes and yada, yada, yada. But we know that they lack the championship defense. And so it's kind of been a combination of existing pieces, like I just mentioned, Capella improving. And guys that either brought in with that trade or, the free agency or whatever. And to me, it's really P.J. Tucker just seems to be, like, on those long rebounds for threes and key moments. He's just a solid player who can, by the way, knock down a three. I mean, I don't know, man. I like – and obviously Ariza is another key here too because he's got that length. And obviously the playoff experience and just a solid defender to be able to even have some sort of length and body type anywhere near a guy like Durant, because we all know, what a freak he is physically. But, Ariza, when he's Ariza, he can hit that three too. He can score on you. So that helps too. And obviously Chris Paul, the addition, the guy, is still a threat, a real weapon on both sides still to have, 41 and a lot of assists and didn't have a turnover. I think that was the first time in NBA history. He's like 41 and how many assists do you have, like 12 or was it even more? Was it like 16 or I can't remember. It was a lot.
Yeah, it was a ton, yeah.
He's huge too. I feel like, here's what I think about, like, no matter the outcome of the series, whether it's, done in five or it's some sort of great, epic seven-game series, right? I do feel like it's going to be a thing of beauty. That high-scoring, rapid-fire pace, not all the way like last year's finals in the last couple of years, but especially like last year because, Cleveland had kind of changed himself into even more three-point shooting, as we saw. And that was – we knew who was going to win, and we know it going in and all that, but it still was fun to watch. And I think that this team is more equipped in some ways, especially defensively. They don't have LeBron. They don't have Kyrie. I get that. But there's just certain things that I think they're going to – even, like I said, a five-game series, I think that – fourth quarter run or that deep third quarter run that would kill the Cavs and everybody else. I think that they can, there's threes and just the way they score too. And I really think they can maybe stay all the way till 5 and 4 and 3 minutes, that type of thing, where they're still in the game. So I do think it's going to be a fun, entertaining series as far as style of play once again, which is good for the NBA overall. And like I said, I keep calling it the finals because it basically is. But I'm obviously referencing, last year's finals. But, obviously Harden and Paul, first of all, no nights off. We can't even, not even a quarter of what we saw the last game last year against San Antonio, sick or not, from Harden. That we can't see that even a quarter. But those two have – the thing is, those two have to be on, right? And then, three or four other Rockets are going to have to show up on a nightly basis. They don't always have to be the same guys, but they need to show up. And they have that type of depth, There is some – both – the whole thing about Golden State, as they started playing this style of game a couple years ago, especially when there was just more offense and then they turned into defense, a lot of people still were like, yeah, but dude, they rely on their outside shooting. So there is that theory that's always been there with the Warriors that, man, if you could get them cold for consecutive games, and, you know, the Thunder did a couple years ago. Remember, they had the lead, and they were – Thompson and Curry were struggling from three, and then they broke out of it and ended up winning it. But so there is that theory of, man, you know, if there's two games in a row where they struggle at three, that's how Houston's going to win this series. But the problem is the Rockets rely even heavier on the three, and they'd have to be kind of, you know, extremely hot while Golden State slumping and all that lined up together. You know, I picked Cleveland last year, and I keep saying Cleveland because that was the only team that could even hang with them on a court offensively, I thought, and still have some defensive players and obviously LeBron to do something. Obviously, Trish Thompson and a couple other guys fell off as that, you know, played out. But I don't know. I still have Golden State, but I'm going to say Golden State in six because of, once again, the home court. The home court. And the only, I think they can get two games because of the home court. You know, so it may be 1-1, and then the game five they win and push it to six or whatever. You know what I mean? I could see it being 1-1. I wouldn't be – I think Golden State will – win one of the first two games. But I could also see Houston because sometimes, I don't know, I just think they've come around defensively a lot better now than they were. And I just feel like they're strong enough to stay in these games. I went really long. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that Golden State, when they do turn it on, has that clutch to win the games on the road. They did it versus Cleveland. It's kind of like if you bring out your A game, you know, we're not going to lose kind of idea. So I'm going to go with them in five, but now I'll break down my thoughts. Houston in this playoff run has had a lot of games that kind of just not brought their best effort. Now, maybe that is just kind of a sense of cockiness, like, oh, well, you know, we're still the better team, you know, because in that series against Minnesota, they did not look like number one seed. I'm not saying that, you know, that they didn't play great against the Wolves, but there was games where Minnesota was up or Houston blew a lead or things got interesting. And in that Utah series, I mean, there's been games where Harden's kind of disappeared in the playoffs this year. So I think if Houston wants to push Golden State or try to win the series, I don't think they can, as you said, take nights off. There can't be a night where Harden goes 2-for-18 like he did against the Wolves in game two, or a night where, you know, Paul is cold or where they're really cold from three-point land like they were in game two against the Jazz. So I think that, you know, they need their A-plus effort, and not to say that Golden State can bring out like a C effort, but, you know, Golden State's kind of earned that. Well, okay, well, we need to turn our switch on. And they did it game four against Orleans, and it's been proven for them. So I like Golden State. I just think they're still more a complete team, and can Houston put together an incredible run of offense and defense. You mentioned the name of the guy I love on Houston more than anyone is P.J. Tucker. I would love for that guy to be on any team I cheer for, especially Golden State. He plays phenomenal defense. Never seems to foul out of a game, has been hitting clutch three after clutch three after clutch three in the playoffs. He's kind of like a Draymond Green. He's physical, tough, doesn't quite get as much trouble or technicals, but he kind of has that bulldog mentality. He never seems to get beat out for a loose ball. And I think he's a guy, Chris, that's going to need to really step up for Houston, because I know you're going to, you know, relate or rely on Harden and Paul to score, but you need a guy that's going to get physical with Draymond, or a guy that's going to, you know, push Clay off a screen or something like that. So I think P.J. Tucker is a huge part of the series. And in regards to Golden State going small ball, the death lineup, I don't think that hurts a team as Houston as much, because Clint Capella, although he's considered a center, isn't really a guy that's like a slow big. That dude can run up and down the court. So Maybe Golden State will use a true center with like McGee or Zaza more to maybe try and slow down Capella or post him up more and get him in foul trouble. Because I think Golden State's had before where they've brought in a depth lineup to make the game go faster. Well, Clint Capella's not really a guy that's going to have to worry about that. If he wants to run down the court with you, he'll do it, and he'll probably do it just as good or much better than Golden State throws at him. So in a roundabout way, I think it's still Golden State too complete of a team. Their defense is better. The Rockets have had too many moments of inconsistency. So with all that being said, I'll take Golden State in five. I mean, we got
it's basically coming down to a game. It's not even it's coming down to a game because we both think that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we knew that at the beginning of the season. You know what I mean? We knew that. We knew that 2 summers ago. Once Durant stepped foot in Golden State, it was a wrap. It's all about now for the NBA is finding a team that can hang with them and push them a couple games. That's all it really is. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
That's all it really is. Now, if added LeBron to Houston, well, now you got a whole different series or something like that. Then it'd be like, oh, shit, anything can happen. Now, throw it out the window. But, you know, it's just tough. It's tough to beat them. And it's tough to, like, get down on certain teams too much trying to beat them, you know? Because you're like, well, dude, anything is possible, you know? I love you, KG, but not in seven games. You know what I mean? It'd be different if it's just one game. That's a whole different ball game. If this is college basketball, that's fine. But, you know, everything is not possible when it comes to basketball in one of the finals. So that about wraps it up. If you just kind of listened to the NBA podcast, or if you just kind of got into when we were talking college basketball earlier and you just kind of found us this year, whether it was on the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network or at the GruelingTruth.net or whatever, you just found us on Twitter or Facebook, whatever. We do college football. Then we go to college basketball. Now we're on NBA playoffs. We'll be here on a weekly basis basically all the way until early July. We'll take you through the finals. We're going to have one draft show, and then we'll have a free agency show. And that wraps it all up. But then we'll be back late August for that first week one, big week one of college football. So stay with us. On, you know, there's about a little gap there, 2 month gap or something like that. That's kind of nice to wind down and whatnot and have everybody enjoy their summers. But we definitely will be back. So if you're interested in this show, follow us on college basketball. If you like college football, even better.
Yeah, I've been telling you, man, I've been craving some football on weekends. I normally don't get like the missed football itch, but there's been this past couple of Saturdays and Sundays where, you know, baseball's obviously a far away way from being serious. And I like the NBA and NHL playoffs, but, you know, sometimes they hit low spots with, you know, how series go. It's like, dude, I could go for some football this weekend. and the draft kind of gets you excited. So, yeah, like Chris said, college football is not that far away. I think we're down to, like, 14 Saturdays or something. So.
Quiet. Be quiet. Dude, we got, like, 2 feet of snow about a month ago. Okay? I don't even want to hear about football right now, okay? about the date. You can talk about football, but just don't tell me how many different Saturdays and shit it is from. Please, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Keep going.
Hey, they're always hiring down in Texas, my friend. All right. Chris and I will be back soon. We do expect Golden State and LeBron to have, I guess it would be a four-peat of repeats. So we'll see. Who knows? Maybe Brad Stevens can continue to move up his pedigree, or maybe James Harden can kind of go like LeBron on the dub. So until then, thanks for listening. As always, we love all of our support. This basketball time of the year is one of our favorite times to do the show. And we also do normally about an hour breakdown leading into the NBA Finals. So after we discuss these series, honestly, it's mainly my favorite NBA show we do all year is kind of doing like a breakdown of finals of like who has the coaching advantage, who's going to be on offense. And it's normally about like a round table amount of questions Chris and I do back and forth, and it's one of my favorite shows of the year. So don't forget about that either. But until then, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Basketball starts tomorrow with the Dubs in Houston, so turn that on. Have a good night. We'll be back soon. The boys are out. Peace.